Okay, good afternoon. My name is Seth Kudikoff. I'm a PhD student at Kansas State. And today I'm going to share some my recent study. It's about modeling uncertainty of evapotranspiration measurements from multiple eddy covariance towers over a crop canopy. And that's seen in this picture in Bushland, Texas. I'll talk about the experimental site in a little while. But first I'm going to begin by talking about trace gas measurement for airborne sensors. We're interested in looking at error, and specifically not systematic errors that are hard to control for, but the random errors that you can model quantitatively with statistics. So specifically, sampling error, it has been looked at in the literature. Micrometeorological studies have identified basically starting with the variance of the fluxes as kind of the foundation of how you can separate independent measurements, because that's an important aspect of statistics, is independence among your measurements. And the tricky thing is, with eddy covariance, it requires high-frequency measurements. In this case, it's at 20 hertz, so 20 times per second, and being able to separate the signal where you're getting different, you're measuring turbulence at different timescales. And at our experiment in Bushland, we have multiple towers that are over the same field. And so the thought was to see how the error may can be looked at between the different instruments which are measuring at the same site, and we have a reference with a large Wang lysimeter as well. So there's different options that we can look at to quantify this error or uncertainty. And the reason this is important for us is because we're interested in a water balance, basically, which can be seen here, where on the left-hand side of the equation, we have kind of the difference between the true flux and what we're measuring with eddy covariance, with EC. So that's what, and then on the right-hand side, a lot of times with EC systems, those terms are assumed to be zero. In reality, they're not, and in a different study outside of what we'll talk about today, those terms would be quantified as well. But for today, we're just looking at this flux and instrument height and trying to determine the uncertainty depending on the time of day and the time of season. And studies have shown this uncertainty increases with increasing latent heat. So this measurement error, we would like to see if that, at our research site, if that actually holds. So our overall goal is to see different ways to quantify this uncertainty of ET. We'll begin by talking now about the experimental site. If you're not familiar with Bushland, Texas, the USDA ARS, has many experimental fields. This is the Northeast Lysimeter field depicted in the schematic with in this box here. This represents a large Wang lysimeter, which is 3 by 3 meters squared and 2.3 meters deep. And it's right in the center of this field with these four triangles representing the EC systems, as you can see here, and then they are separated by about 45 meters each, and they're just north and slightly east of the lysimeter in order to have the maximum fetch from a prevailing south wind, which was the case throughout much of the growing season. So this was drip irrigated sorghum was planted and furrow diked to minimize runoff. And the towers, in a little more detail, they're 12 meters tall, and they each have, above the canopy, there's four heights in which there is a measurement of temperature, relative humidity, wind speed, and wind direction. And the EC systems at each, there's one at the same height, which is about 3 meters above the crop canopy, which are comprised of CSAT, so sonic three-dimensional sonic anemometer, and an open path infrared gas analyzer from LIGHTCorp, and the center tower is a 7500A. The other three towers are the older model, 7500. We have continuous measurements, as I mentioned, 20 hertz high frequency for the DC systems, and they were averaged over a 30-minute period to compute the latent heat flux from the raw data, and software from EddyPro software was used to quantify that latent heat flux. And these fields are very flat and pretty uniform. However, it's still good to make some post-processing corrections to ensure that you have a vertical wind that is oriented perpendicular to the ground. Finally, the data, not all of it was usable. The quality of fluxes varied, and as well, we had to make sure that precipitation and irrigation events were not included in order to make comparison between the EC system data and the Wang life limiter. And so for the rest of the, for the results I'll be showing, I have two periods that are going to be shown on the left, left-hand side and right-hand side. Basically, we'll see from August to early September, an 11-day period of data, and then again, that'll be the summer, and then the fall will be represented by October 1st to October 7th, and so that will be the data I'll be showing today. So now, here are the two approaches I used for uncertainty. The statistical approaches are from published papers. The one on the left is the Hollander and Richardson 2005 paper, and it basically is a way to look at comparisons between either two different locations or two different time periods. In this case, it would be locations, and compare the fluxes, basically the dispersion of the differences between the flux values. So in notation, it looks like this, where you have a random error, this epsilon f, that has normal, we assume it's normally distributed with a mean of zero, and then a variance of that error, and so the error can be quantified. This uncertainty, again, it's basically looking at the differences between the fluxes. And then a direct measurement is the Finkelstein and Sims from 2001, which looks like this. It's a little messy, but to simplify, basically we're looking at auto covariances of the vertical wind and the vapor, water vapor concentration with cross covariances of the two. So they're summed together over a period of approximately 20 seconds. So that's, since they're 20 hertz, this is quite a few samples are within each. It's a lot of data that's processed in for each value of uncertainty, and so this can be looked at over a course of every day on the same time scale that you're averaging. So this is over a 30-minute period. So I'll now look at what the data, so some of the data here. In the four the panels, if you look in the x-axis, it's time by the actual day. So if you go vertically, so right here we have the time of day. So the daytime, afternoon hours between noon and 6 p.m., for instance, is right here. And this upper left panel, the vapor pressure deficit, temperature, wind speed, and friction velocity. I've highlighted a particular day. This is August 31st. And on this day, there was a clear signal of incredibly good evaporative demand with a high VPD and temperature and strong winds associated with just highly advective conditions on a very warm, sunny day in the summer during the growing season, with the U star basically is a measure of the average speed of the eddies, the turbulence. So that's an example of pointing out, using this data to point out, okay, so this day should have high ET. And indeed, when we look at the surface energy budget, the blue line is representative of the time series of the latent heat measured by our EC system. And you'll notice that on that day 243, that's the same day I just talked about, and it actually exceeded the net radiation net radiation on that day. And that's during this time period in August, in the summer, the entire period, each day, we had saw high ET, and despite that, that was clearly the highest day. And then we move on to seeing the ET on the time scale of a per day between the Lysimeter and EC systems, and the difference is stark between the ET on average during the summer and the fall, where it's over twice the amount during the summer as in the fall. And on a per hour basis, we can see that there's good agreement between that Wang Lysimeter and the Central Tower EC system consistently for no matter if you look at the fall or summer period. And this is an example of using all the data of positive ET, positive latent heat, where we can see an R-square value of 0.96 and a slope of 1.03. We can look at how there tends to be overestimation of EC, of ET using EC, but in this, for in studies previously, but in this case, it's not really the case. The uncertainty I'll get into now, using that first model I talked about. So I'll describe what this figure is showing. It's hard to see, I know. So we have from each tower the difference between the ET measured by that tower and that of the Lysimeter for the same time periods over an hour for 1 hour periods for all the data in the summer. So for those 11 days, and it's a histogram and normalized probability distribution function is plotted with to fit that histogram. And the take-home, comparing it to the fall period, the key point is that in the fall, we have lower values of uncertainty. And so this is in terms of millimeters per hour. And we're looking at a reduction from about 0.07 millimeters per hour to 0.045 millimeters per hour. And among those pairings, there's not much of a difference. So it's consistent among those EC systems. However, when we pair among the EC systems without using a reference, it's very different. So the south, west, and east are each compared to the center tower, and the west and east are compared as well. And the west-east actually are basically in line with what is seen in the Lysimeter pairings, but in contrast, whenever the central tower is involved, comparing to the each of the other EC systems, the uncertainty is significantly higher, over 0.1 millimeter per hour in the case of the summer period. And so we can see that there is an overall 33% increase from the Lysimeter pairings when you pair the EC systems with each other. And also, this is an indication that there might be some bias occurring where we now do not have normally distributed distribution anymore, which breaks the assumption of using this statistical model. And now I'll look at the other approach with the Finkelstein and Sims. So for this, I'll be looking at a comparison of absolute measurement error, but also include the relative measurement error, which can be seen in this plot. So in blue is absolute measurement error. And to see a little bit better, I'll show you two specific days in the summer and fall, which can be seen now here. And this, again, is August 31st, which I've shown earlier, and on October 3rd. And so the absolute measurement error is maximized basically when the latent heat is the highest in the midday hours. And this coincides with the lowest fractional flux sampling error in the green, that relative measurement error. And this is consistent with what previous analysis has shown with this method. However, the actual magnitude change, the fractional flux is a little bit higher in the later in the later day, and it's interesting to note that difference, considering it, that is supposed to be kind of unchanging no matter what day you're looking at. And the maximum uncertainty in general is about half of what it is using the other method. So we're talking on the order of 0.02 millimeters per day, which is quite a bit less than if you look at the lysimeter. The precision of that is 0.05 millimeters, per hour. This should be per hour. So a millimeter per hour. And so in conclusion, we can see that there are different ways to look at uncertainty in ET measurements, given ground truth, like in the case of using a lysimeter, and among multiple towers and using a single tower. And we can use this type of data to look at the ability to have a confidence interval and in looking at a balance for a water vapor. And the two methods that were shown here aren't perfectly, you can't necessarily make conclusions on which is better, but there is indication that first method is not necessarily going to work if there's any instrumentation differences, and so it's possible that the way that the gas analyzers were cited, for instance, could have implications on the results for that method. And finally, we might look, moving forward, we'll look at some spectral information in addition to time domain to incorporate some structure that uncertainty for looking at changes within the time of day, for instance. With that, I'll take questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. And if you happen to place one in a covariance system a few meters above another one at the same location to see how well your reaction model is performing?
Yes, actually, the center tower has two additional EC systems, one at 8.4 meters above the ground, and the other one at 2.1 meters above ground. For this, I didn't look at the differences among those, but that would be interesting to see. Because for this, it was trying to basically replicate at the same location rather than looking at different footprints, which would occur if you looked at different heights.
Good question.
Right. So, assuming that that we have good mixing of and the canopy is basically it's uniform, at the field scale, the ET that the lysimeter is measuring should be equivalent to that of the EC, assuming that we are getting flux from the field, which is the case when we have that the prevailing wind.
One more question, if we have.
Just to follow up, if what you just said is the case, then there would be no need for that injection component.
That's a good point, let's see. So yeah, under certain circumstances, that's right, we can't make those assumptions when there's particularly large eddies and that are not necessarily going to be measured in the EC system. So with when you have a total, right, a total, the system has more energy, yeah. That's it.
You're not getting all the energy that you're measuring with net rad, it's like you sense the need.
Okay, thanks much.
Thank you.